The book of Philemon, have you found it yet? It's after Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. It's one of the epistles that Paul wrote in jail in Rome, which was interesting because it seemed to be not the jail that we would think of it. Maybe it seemed like they gave him an apartment, but he was under house arrest, and he had access to, you know, his bank account or whatever, because he was still sending funds and sending people to and fro. They were coming and visiting him, picking up letters that he wrote and sending them out to the churches. And so here he is, Paul, a citizen of Rome, in jail because of his faith, because the Jews sent him, and he's waiting to hear to be tried by Nero. And this letter to Philemon is a letter to an old friend back in Colossae, when Paul was going around and planting churches. Philemon was one of the folks that came to the Lord and started a church in his house. And Paul has an issue to raise with Philemon. Sometimes it's difficult to have good friends, good Christian friends, and there's this area that needs to be addressed. How do you address that? How do you do it with grace and love without offending your brother, without having them come back at you and say, well, you do this and that, you know? And Paul is going to give us a great example of how to do this, make an appeal in the Lord, and without throwing his weight around, but saying, you know, I could throw my weight around, but I'm not going to. Let's get into the study of Philemon and see what I'm talking about here. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy was with him. Timothy was probably writing most of this letter, and he was going to, he was his brother in the Lord, helping him, encouraging him during this difficult time. And Paul is calling himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I am here because Jesus brought me here. Wherever you are, whatever state in your life, the Lord knows you're there. The Lord is sovereign. And as we seek the Lord and abide in him, and we know we're in the perfect place God wants us to be, we know he's got us there for a reason. And he's got Paul in prison. In other places, he calls himself an apostle. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Here he's calling himself the prisoner, the servant, or even the slave of Jesus Christ. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Philemon is his good friend in Colossae. Apphia is his wife, and Archippus is their son. So he's writing to a family and the church in their house. This would be the second letter that Paul writes to a church in Colossae. And churches meeting in houses. Oftentimes we say, hey, the early church did it, so that's the way to do it. Do you know why they met in houses? Because they could not legally meet in public. The meeting places that were in public were the Jewish synagogues, and the Rome wasn't allowing any other groups to spread out and meet publicly until the 3rd century. Then you started seeing churches and buildings popping up just to make it easier. We meet here because it's one location that we can all get and meet comfortably and reach out to others. We enjoy meeting at houses. We meet at our house on Tuesday nights for a study. But meeting at a house or meeting at a place is not what makes the church, right? What makes a church? Well, there are 4 things that make up a church. It's comprised of people that primarily are saved. These are people who have come to knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, came to faith in Jesus, and have given their life to him and want to serve him with one another. It's a place of worship where we can come together as a body and give God the glory he deserves. It's a place where there's unity. We have unity. We have Jesus in common. And we come together because of Jesus, not because of any agenda. There's some oversight. There's leadership in the body, and there's teaching. It's centered around the teaching of God's word to equip the saints to go and do the work of the ministry. These things can be done in a setting like this. They could be done in a house. They could be done under a tent. The church is the people, the church coming together for these reasons to give God glory. And then to be salt and light, because the church's job is to go out and to bring others in, right? Because the field is ripe unto harvest. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great, great greeting? Grace to you. Grace to you. Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's work. Grace, in one way you can describe it, is God doing it. God working in the midst of your life. So grace is not only forgiveness. Grace is empowering. Grace is the Holy Spirit coming into your life and changing you and making you more like Jesus. Grace to you. Grace to you. To change you, to make you more like Him. So we can be one in agreement, in unity, in fellowship in the Lord. And peace, because when you're in Jesus, there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. You can go and take on anything and have a peace in your life. Things can come and happen to you. You can go through trials and tribulations like you would never imagine, and yet God's peace can be with you as you walk in His grace. From God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's how he starts out, encouraging his brother. And then he says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention to you always in my prayer, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective and the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Oh, Paul is just full of love and life in his words. And he's sincere because he loves Philemon. He loves the work that God is doing in his life. He loves the fact that Philemon and his family have submitted to the Lord and allowed the Lord to work in and through them. And every time he thinks of Philemon, he prays for him. Lord, bless Philemon. And it's not necessarily a long, broad, stretched out prayer. But he says, I make mention of you. When I think of you, I say, thank you, God, for Philemon. Bless them. Encourage them. When the Lord brings somebody to mind, you don't need to spend a half hour praying for them. You could just say, thank you for them. Bless them. Encourage them this day. Give them strength. And as the Lord leads, you know, pray deeper and longer. But hey, at least just shoot up a mention. Say, Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for bringing them to mind. Lord, how would you like me to pray for them today? Lord, I'm just blessed every time I think about them, and I long to be with them and fellowship with them again someday. Paul is thankful because he hears reports coming back from Colossae. He hears of their love and their faith which they have toward the Lord. Do you have friends that you remember and you hear about and you go, when I was with them, I just felt Jesus. They were encouraging, they were loving, they were challenging. And now I hear reports back from other people, they're the same way. It just tickles my heart to see the Lord working in their lives. And I long to be with them. Are there people that you just long to be with because they love the Lord so much? Not only do they have a love of the Lord, but they have love toward the saints. And it's evident in their lives. How will they know that we are Christians? By our love for one another. You know, and then you look at the body of Christ, and we've got some cracked pots, don't we? Your pastor's one of those. And you go and you go, boy, you've been through a lot, and you've made some weird decisions, and you've been great, but I just love y'all, you know? And this is the kind of love that Philemon had. And it was evident. You know, I came in and Philemon just made me feel at home. I'm just, I just, I don't feel worthy enough to come into a church body, but when I came in there, they just made me feel at home, and I'm so thankful. And Paul hears these reports, and he's just so thankful because this is the guy that the Lord allowed me to lead to him. I led this guy to the Lord, and just look at him blossom. I'm just so excited. And he loves the people, and it's evident. And I thank the Lord for that. It's important that we love one another. And it's not something we can work up, is it? It's a love that comes from the Lord. As we grow in love of the Lord, because he first loved us. And as he grows in us and changes us and makes us more like him, he gives us a love for one another. He gives us a love and a compassion and a desire to be with and encourage and build up one another. May he continue to work that in our lives here, so that when we go out, people will see that love and come to know the Lord. There, in Haywood County, there are tons of people searching for love. They need to know the love of the Lord. They need to see it in the lives of people. I was meeting with a friend of mine that he works with the fire department in Clyde. He's a chaplain. That's right, he's a chaplain. And he hears all the radio calls, and he says, this weekend there's been so many overdoses. This meth problem that we have is just overtaking people. People are dying. People are in the hospital because they're trying to fill their need for love with this substance that meets something for a little bit, but it destroys. We need to find ways to reach out to these people. Show them that we love them. Show them that the Lord loves them and that there is hope. There is a future for them. Verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for you. I'm praying for you because I see the Lord at work in you, and I want him to continue to perfect that work in you so that you can be a witness to those who need to hear about Jesus Christ, so that when you go out to them, you have a humbleness about you, that you know that what is coming out, what you see in me is not from me. What you're seeing in me is the Lord working in and through me. I have a love for these people because of the love that the Lord has given me for them. And it's real, and you can have it too. Part of growing in the Lord is laying down our failures. Part of having faith in God is realizing it's God that works in us to make us more like him, to use us in order to reach others. Then we can lay down our pretenses and be ourselves in Christ, and people can see that authenticity, to see that there is something different about you, real. And they might not be able to put their finger on it, but I could see Jesus in you, and I want that. And that's Paul's prayer for Philemon. As you grow in the Lord, Philemon, you and your family and the church with you, may you become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. We may define good differently in this world, but the truly good things that bring life and hope and peace come from the Lord. And we're thankful that he works in and through our lives. Amen. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Again, I hear the reports. I know that it's happening. The Lord is at work. People are being encouraged, and I'm just blessed to hear about it. Thank you, Philemon. Keep up the good work. Then he kind of changes gears in verse 8. He says, therefore, though, I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about what the Lord has been doing in your life. I'm excited that he allowed me to be a part of it. But I got to tell you something, and I could come upon and say, hey, I got to tell you this because of my position. But for love's sake, for the mercy of the Lord, for the sake of the Lord, and allowing him to work in and through your life, and for you to be blessed by this situation and not feel heavy-handed, not feel obligated to do something and not really have your whole heart into it, I have something to appeal to you. Can I remind you that I'm Paul the aged? I'm your elder, and I'm getting older while I'm in jail, and I need you to listen to me. I mean, it almost sounds like he's playing a psychological game, but he's really appealing to Philemon in grace in the Lord. He's saying, Philemon, really, I need to tell you these things, and I don't need to remind you, but just in case, you know, I led you to the Lord. I'm your elder. And I'm here in jail. I have a whole lot of time to pray about these things and meditate. And I need to talk to you about this. I'm a prisoner, again, of Rome, but not really. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Another name for prisoner is ambassador. I'm a messenger of Jesus Christ. He's put me here so I could write some letters and get some clarity on what needs to be said. So would you just consider what I have to say in these next few verses, Philemon. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. You see, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. And this is an uncomfortable subject, especially in the South, talking about slavery and why it even existed and why these Christians would have slaves. And there are a whole lot of reasons. A lot of people became slaves because they had debts, and in order to become, you know, have their debts paid off, they became a slave to people until they could get their debts paid off. But in Rome, if I read it right, there were 60 million slaves during this time. Slavery was big. It was accepted. It was part of culture. And there are different ways and reasons people became slaves. And it just, we can't sugarcoat it. It was ugly. It was not good. But there were these laws on the books about slaves and slave owners. And if a slave in Rome, you had the right, if a slave just dropped a glass and broke a glass, you could get that slave hanged if you wanted to. They were very strict. And a runaway slave was even worse. But they did have a law about seeking refuge. You could go to an altar, they called it. And you could either go into, you know, a church building, or just an altar could be considered somebody's, you know, fireplace in their house if they're willing to take you in. And then that person would represent the slave to the owner again and to appeal to them and to restore the relationship. And Colossae to Rome is a long distance. We don't know how Onesimus got from Colossae to Rome, but it certainly wasn't something that happened overnight. It must have been purposeful, because he knew in Rome there was a lot of hope for runaway slaves. There was a place to come and maybe even gain some freedom. So we don't know exactly the hows and the whys, but Onesimus had escaped. And somehow he ran into Paul. And Paul knew Onesimus, because he knew Philemon and his family, and he knew the whole situation. And so he had compassion on Onesimus. Paul later, in some of his letters, talks about slaves and slave owners. If you are a slave, submit to your owner. If you're an owner, treat your slave right. And today we change that and apply it to, you know, your boss. If you are employed by a boss, you need to submit to your boss. He's kind of your master because you've chosen to submit yourself to him. But why did God allow for this? And why did God, you know, make provision for saying, if you're a slave, submit to your owner? Why did God allow David to have multiple wives? Why did God allow Moses to write a certificate of divorce? There are many things that God, quote unquote, allows and works through in our society and the way we are because of the hardness of our hearts, because we don't dive in completely to what he has for us. And he works around things. Yet he takes instances like this to build a path to a better way. He takes these instances, and you'll see later on, this letter is influential in turning the slave and the slave owner relationship upside down. The answer is we all need Jesus. And the answer is we're all equal at the foot of the cross. But sometimes we run into things that are just, we don't understand. But in God's grace and in his mercy, we need to realize God deals with fallen people. And he's working in and through our lives and situations and society in order to accomplish his purposes. But it takes a while. And that's why sometimes it seems like he allows something that doesn't seem just, doesn't seem right to allow. But there's a bigger reason, and there's a bigger purpose. Paul is beginning to play off the name of Onesimus. Onesimus means profitable. That's what his name means. But Paul is saying, hey, when he ran away from you, he wasn't profitable anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. He's come and he's found me and I've begotten him. In other words, I've led him to the Lord. And now he's a great blessing to me. He is very profitable to me. He's a whole new person, Philemon. You got to hear what I'm saying, Philemon. In verse 12, I'm sending him back to you because that's right. It's the law, and we want to abide by the laws of the land. But how you respond is up to you and the Lord. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That's my own heart. Receive him. Don't reject him. Don't put him to death. Whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. I could just not say anything and let him stay here with me and minister to me because he's great. I mean, the Lord is making him into a wonderful, encouraging servant. You know, in the old words of Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve the devil or you got to serve the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. This word slave goes both ways. It has such a negative connotation, but the truth is we're a slave to someone. Are we a slave to the Lord? Or are we a slave to the enemy? Are we a slave to our sin, or have we been made free from our sin in order to serve the Lord fully and gladly, where we find life and hope and abundance? And Paul's saying, you know, it's right that I send him back to you. I would love to keep him because he's been a great ministry to me. But I wanted to send him back. In verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. All right, he's implying here that Philemon, I know you. I know you love the Lord, and I know what you're going to do is right. You're going to do a good deed. You're going to treat Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother. You're not going to punish him, but you're going to welcome him in as a family member with open arms. I know you're going to do this. And so I just didn't want to say, I'm keeping Onesimus, and you know if you know what's right for you, you'll just accept this. I'm sending him back. Not because Rome says to, but because God wants to do something greater in your lives. He wants to bless you and Onesimus. Are you willing to do this? I think you are. In verse 15, for perhaps he departed for you for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Do you see the big picture, Philemon? You know, maybe he escaped for wrong reasons. Maybe you had him as a slave for wrong reasons, Philemon. But God is sovereign in this. And we remember back to another great story of a slave in the Old Testament, Joseph. He was a slave. Nothing was ever said of anything he did wrong. But he became a slave because his brothers hated him. But because he became a slave and was brought to Egypt, many years later, he could be put in a position to save the nation of Israel and Egypt, but mainly because of Israel. God has a way of working in and through our mistakes, our sin, to bring himself glory, to accomplish his purposes. And sometimes we just don't understand it. Sometimes it involves forgiving somebody that has wronged us so that they can get to that place of being used by the Lord in a glorious way that they wouldn't have been used any other way. By the law, this guy was wrong. Even by the spirit of the law in Christ Jesus, in whatever situation you find yourself in, learn to be content and stay in that situation until the Lord moves you. If you're a slave, be a slave to the glory of God. If you're a slave owner, treat them like a person. Glorify God in what you do. So perhaps he ran away and ran into me by sure coincidence. Lord led him to me so that I could lead him to the Lord. And now he's been ministering to me. And how glorious this is. Onesimus is a brother in Jesus Christ now. Aren't you excited about that? He's a benefit to me and to you because he's serving me. He's a blessing to you because I can pray and I can write and I can send you more letters. And don't you see? This is great. In verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. We're good friends, Philemon. We're good friends. I led you to the Lord. And we've gone through things and we've seen the Lord work in your life and I've just seen you blossom and it's so encouraging to hear from you and you're encouraged to hear from me and I long to be in your presence and I know you guys are praying for me here that I'd be freed. You know we're in this ride together in the gospel. It's a partnership in the Lord. So please, would you consider accepting Onesimus back as if you were accepting me? He's putting his friendship on the line here. And again, that begs the question in our lives, are there things that we need to challenge our brothers or sisters with in the Lord, that if we do, it could sever the relationship. And we choose not to because we don't want to cause trouble. Sometimes the Lord wants us to be a troublemaker. But if we approach it in prayer, in grace, in love, and leave it in their hands, in their hearts, and trust the Lord with it, then we trust that the Lord would work in their lives and help them to see something they hadn't seen before. And after the initial shock, they can find peace and hope and find new levels of faith that they wouldn't have gotten to any other way. Verse 18, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. And then either if Timothy was writing this from the beginning, or if Paul was writing the whole thing, Paul might have just said, Tim, I need to write this part. I, Paul, am writing you with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention that you, to you, that you owe me even your own self besides. I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip, but please remember, I've given you a gift that you can't repay. But I'm willing to repay Onesimus, I mean, the debt he owes you. I can and I will. And he's writing with his own hand. He had bad handwriting. He had big letters because they believed that he had a vision problem. And this was something that he had prayed about 3 times. He said, Lord, would you heal my vision so I can see? And the Lord answered to him, my grace is sufficient for you. But you know what? The Lord gave him vision like few others have. He gave him spiritual eyes and insight. And he wrote most of the New Testament. We thank the Lord for what he does and the places that he takes us. And he was saying, hey, look, it's me writing. You can see it with the big letters. I'm serious about this, Philemon. Would you take him back? Would you take him back? Verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Yeah, I don't want to have to force you and pull the old I'm the elder card and you have to do this. I want you to do this willingly. And I want you to do this because of the joy that you will experience for seeing the Lord restore, because that's what we're preaching the gospel about, isn't it, Philemon? That's why you have a church in your house, so people would come to the Lord and be restored to him and to one another. This is a great opportunity for you to make right a wrong you had and to make a right a wrong Onesimus had. And Paul does another play on words. This word joy comes from another word that means prophet, which means Onesimus. 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. That sentence is full of grace, isn't it? I'm writing you because I know you're going to do what's right. Because I know you, Philemon. I know your heart. I know the work that the Lord is doing. And I know you're going to do so much more than I'm asking you to do. But in the meantime, I also prepare a guest room. You guys also prepare a guest room for me. For I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. I'm sending Onesimus back, and I'm praying and I'm trusting that I'm going to be following soon after. And when we get together, it's going to be a great reunion. I'm looking forward to that. Now, Paul never did make it back to Colossae. He ended up being martyred in Rome. Does that mean the Lord didn't hear his prayer? Because Paul obviously is a man that's following after the Lord's heart. But he's also one that says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I've had a lot, I've had a little. I've had it good, I've had it bad. But I'm confident of this one thing, that in whatever circumstance I am in, I will be content. And I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can have nothing. I can have everything. I can reflect Jesus in whatever circumstance I'm in. I long to go, come back and be in fellowship with you. But if the Lord says, no, you'll be in fellowship with them in a few years when they make it to heaven to reach you. You can get a room ready for them in heaven. The Lord's ways are not our ways. But they're good and they're perfect. And we trust Him in those things. And then he wraps up with greeting some folks. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you. He's the one that actually delivered the letter. As do Mark. Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow laborers. Even Luke, who we just got done reading, he was helping Paul at the end there. He was ministering and fellowshipping and praying with him. It's sad to note that Demas was one that later on abandoned Paul. It just got to be too much, the pressure. He couldn't see the big picture. He just saw Rome coming upon him. And so he was out. Even the people that we think are strong in the faith that are with us sometimes fall away. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another so we don't become like a Demas. And then again he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Can I have the praise team come up as we wrap up? Again, the grace of our Lord be with you in your spirit. The grace of God that not only forgives your sin, but empowers you, that changes you, that conforms you into the image of Christ. May the grace of God be with you so that you can deny your faith, so that you can pick up your cross and follow after Jesus, so you can make the right decision, Philemon. You ever notice at the end of some movies, especially if it's a movie based on a real life story, and just before the credits, they have a 20 years later, so-and-so became so-and-so, and this is how they lived out their lives, and this character became this character, and they're serving people doing this. You know what I'm talking about? Onesimus, if it's the same guy, and I think it is, later became the bishop of Ephesus in AD 110 at the age of 70. When he escaped, he was probably a teenager or in his young 20s. So he had many years of growing in the Lord. And it tells us that Philemon agreed with Paul and poured himself into Onesimus. And Onesimus was full of the grace of God. And he was used by God to touch many people. And he was the overseer of a time where they collected Paul's letters to start putting it into the Bible. And he made sure that this letter was at the top. God is good. Sometimes he has us do hard things, but it changes the world. Are we willing to humble ourselves to forgive others? Or even come and humbly challenge somebody that's a brother or sister in the Lord that the Lord is saying, you got to talk to them about this. Are we willing to risk our friendship, our reputation, in order for them to come to a place of brokenness and a place of forgiveness and a place of restoration where somebody like Onesimus can be put in this great position? To say, God is good. He worked in my life. Everything that I'm doing is a result of what God has done, not what I've done because I did everything wrong. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for this short letter that is full of grace and mercy and challenge and tough times, but forgiveness and just a great ending. Lord, speak to each of us. Show us areas that we need to do things that might be uncomfortable. And help us to do it in grace. Help us not to do it in the flesh, throwing our position, throwing ourselves around and throwing our weight around to make it work. But Lord, trusting you with the results. Being faithful like Paul to appeal to Philemon for the life of Onesimus. And Lord, just how you used the life of Onesimus as a result of their faithfulness, of their obedience. Lord, we acknowledge we are slaves to you because you have freed us from the slavery to sin and the devil. You have made us free to serve you. Help us to understand more and more what that means. Lord, bless us as we go because you are a God that desires to bless. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.